Well, good morning, church. Summer is here. Summer is a wonderful time to replenish yourself and your family. And I can't wait for this week, Thursday. Nguyen and Hung have arrived safely and are there and sleeping, almost sleeping right now. And so there will be meeting all week with Leah, and the transition will be happening and all of that, and we're really thankful. They were so blessed to be a part of our service last week, and we're so impressed and grateful for this spiritual family that would invest in them as well as in the long-term sustainability of that mission. So we thank you. Yeah, it's a time of replenishment. And so often in the summertime, this occurs around water. Lakes, rivers, swimming pools. A few years ago, we went to Cuba for a few weeks and then around the ocean. Replenishment often happens around some body of water. Now, a number of years ago, I needed a major overhaul and replenishment. And as I met with my spiritual director and counselor and doctor, one of the things that they have to help me to understand was that in times of replenishment, yes, you need sleep. Yes, you need to eat well. Yes, you need to exercise. Yes, you need to spend quality time with God. But one of the things that Duncan Westwood helped me understand that I did not understand was that there is a whole side of the human on the emotional side. I've shared some of this with you before, but he talked me through about replenishing my emotional tank. Because it's actually out of your emotion that gives you passion, which gives you energy to do what you want to do. He has seen countless pastors and missionaries, people who work overseas, who are just fried. So they withdraw from work, they sleep well, they spend time with God, they exercise, they eat right, all of those things. And they go back and engage, and within months, they find themselves in the same position because they ignored the dynamic of filling your emotional tank. Now, the problem was you need to discern what is it that actually gives you emotional energy, what fills your tank emotionally. And he said it's different for everyone. So he led me on a journey. And there's a few things that do it, but one of them that was so an aha moment, when I feel most alive, when I feel most energized, when I feel most passion, is when I am near, in, on, or especially under water. Seriously. You get me near a body of water, in it, on it, and especially under it. One time I was with my family, and I decided to go snorkeling, and I like to go way under, and I only come up to grab some air and keep going, but next thing, about 5.5 hours went by. I never came out of the water. And I came back just so alive. I don't know what that activity is for you, but because I helped design this, we're just going to make water work this summer. But what I was absolutely fascinated by, but it wasn't just me, that actually God, all throughout the scripture, alludes to water in its replenishing, refreshing, restorative nature. Remember the psalmist in one of the most well-known psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember this phrase? It says, he leads me by quiet waters, he restores my soul. There is something about water and being near it, being engaged in it, that is so life-giving. In fact, the scripture in my study this whole past week really has opened my eyes to something and deepened what I thought was there or I'd heard was there, and that is that water is used in the Bible, as theologians call, an archetype of spiritual life from God. And an archetype is an image, a motif, an example, or a symbol. And it really is true. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey today to just show you not all, but snippets of this whole dynamic about how water is used as an archetype of spiritual life and blessing, replenishment, and refreshment within the scriptures. Yes, water covers 70% of the earth's surface, and when depending on who you read, our bodies are made up of anywhere from 50 to 70% water. I was amazed going on the internet, and all of these science places couldn't agree. We know that young children, their percentages of water in their bodies is more than an adult. And so we know that a lot of us are made up of water. It's so basic to the necessity of life. But in the ancient Near East, where the scripture is written, it was such an important engagement or idea. In fact, it found its way into the scriptures and many other ancient Near East literature. In the Bible, the first mention was in Genesis 1. And the last mention of it is in Revelation 22, verse 17. And between these references, as one writer said, water flows through the pages of Scripture. And it really does. God describes his relationship with his people metaphorically often with water. But we want to look today in particular at the replenishment principles from some water texts in the scriptures. And in case some of you go to sleep, don't worry about the title. Get the points and understand it and just let it feed your soul. Or as I often love to say, let them seep into the water table of your soul. For God wants to replenish us, and what a beautiful time in the summer to do so. The first replenishment principle I see in the scripture is this, that God is the source of our authentic spiritual life. Now, that sounds so basic, but if you miss that one, you miss the whole gig. So I had to include that one. God is the source of our authentic spiritual life. Psalm 36, verse 8 and 9, the psalmist says, "You give them drink from the river of your delights, for with you is the fountain of life." With you is the fountain of life. The fountain here is used of a source, a headwater of, or a spring, that which flows into a river. For you give them, this is your people, to drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. God is the source of all true spiritual life and vitality. Get it? Simple, straightforward. Let's not beat a dead horse. We get that one. If you're a believer, this is what the scripture teaches. I could go on and on and show you many others, but we understand God as the source of our spiritual life, that which is authentically spiritual. It is actually from him and flowing from his being into ours. The second one, I want us to understand that. So the first one is, do you know him? Do you know him like that? We're going to learn later on this sermon that sometimes many of us try to substitute a different source. God has made us in such a way that he is the ultimate source and the only one that will give his deep soul satisfaction. He is the source of authentic spiritual life. Secondly, God refreshes those who seek to know him. See, he doesn't promise to restore and replenish people who just want some religion in their life. He doesn't promise to restore and replenish people who just want to believe doctrinal truth. He doesn't promise to restore and replenish people who actually just want to follow rules. He promises to restore and replenish and satisfy deep within those who seek Him, the source of our spiritual life. The prophet Hosea in the Old Testament said, "Let us know," and then he emphasizes, "No, let us press on to know the Lord." He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. I don't want to go on. There's a whole set of teaching and imagery around rains and the replenishment and what that means with God and how He promises both the spring and the latter rains, and there's all kind of teaching surrounding that. But suffice to say that when we know Him and pursue Him, to seek Him, to get to know Him, to thirst for Him, as we press on to know the Lord, He will come to us like showers, like spring rains that water the earth. Leah was telling me that they had such unusual heat in Cambodia this year, unlike the normal heat. They were in the 40s, but there was no rain. The clouds would come by, no rain. And it was just killing them. And the people and the lake and the canals, like all of that, the water levels were so low. They were taking some of our team who were there. You went there and you were on the boats, and what was usually, water way up, those stilts was right down, and you were plowing through mud sometimes. But then the rains came, and she was FaceTimer. She'd tell me about how cool it was and how refreshing those rains were. I'm just going to be honest with you. In the last 3 weeks, there's been times where it's been very busy, and I actually missed a few days in my personal quiet times. Oh, the shame. I'm sorry. It's true. But it doesn't bother me trying to live up to a standard you have for me. You know what I missed? I missed the refreshment that came when I sought after God. And so I just got up early and got out of my deck, and I took my Bible, and I just met, "Lord, I'm not going to meet another day. And I don't care what's going on. I'm spending time with You." And there's something so satisfying about connecting with God deeply. If you seek Him and pursue Him and talk to Him. The other day, it was actually Saturday morning. Yes, I sat at my breakfast table and had my Bible out and had my quiet time. And then I just closed my Bible. I spent time praying and praying over Leah and my kids individually and this church and just seeking after God and just things in my own soul and my life and just crying out to God and just spending time with Him. It's just so refreshing. Let's know Him, church, and press on to know the Lord, for He will come to us. When we do that, He will come to us like showers, like refreshing our souls. Just like spring rains do to the earth. That's a wonderful replenishment that God actually refreshes those who seek to know Him. Christian, I'm assuming those now in the room who've actually know God and you believe in Him, you've actually think, okay, You are the source of life, I believe in You, and you've made that commitment of your life to follow Christ. Here's my question to you. Do you pursue Him? Do you seek to know Him? What's obvious is this word, passage from the Psalms, that as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for You, O God. Is that true for you? Or do you just go through your week? Not even. Oh, yeah, it's Sunday. I guess I better go to church. Or does your soul just long for Him? Church, I trust that that's true for you. Because God will refresh and replenish those who long and pursue, who seek Him and seek to know Him. Press on, church. Press on. Don't be settled for a Sunday school understanding of God. Don't settle for what you've learned in the, maybe, you know, for about a 10-year period until you got to be about 40 with the Lord. Press on. Press on. The times of refreshing will come to you. God makes those who trust Him vital and effective. So here you see this progress we see when we come to these beautiful water passages in the Scripture. First, that God is the source. And then as we get to seek Him, God will actually refresh those. And then as we continue on, He makes those who trust Him vital and effective. There's one thing about being refreshed, but then there's another thing about being alive and being effective and productive for the kingdom. God makes those who trust Him vital and effective. The prophet Jeremiah, as I spent time there, this one just really grabbed me, so I went back to the memory banks and pulled this one out. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Now then he takes it a whole step deeper. Whose trust is the Lord? Blessed. God's blessing. They will be like a tree planted by water, sending its roots out in the stream. This is vitality. This picture occurs time and time again in the Scripture. Some of you know Psalm chapter 1. Bless those who meditate upon God's law day and night, for they will be like trees planted by streams of living water. It talks about how let's go on in this passage. It shall not, this is speaking of the tree now, that is planted by streams of water. That's an illustration of those who trust in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He says, you shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. This is a picture of vitality. Vitality. We feel alive in the Spirit of God. And in the year of drought, it won't be anxious. It does not cease to bear fruit. Some of you, if truth be known, you have deep fear. You have a lot of fears in your life. And sometimes people compensate to make them look like they're not afraid, but inside they're very insecure and have a lot of fears. All of us do. What's your antidote to fear? Having God as your trust and trusting in Him. See, God is meant to be a dynamic living part of your life, not just something that sits on a shelf or something compartmentalized and apart from life. No, in the very fabric of your life, your trust in the Almighty God, His presence within you, He helps calm your fears when the heat comes. You can stay vital and alive, not be shriveled by fear. And when drought comes, here's another one. Many people are anxious, worrisome. And throughout life, sometimes they think that they have gotten over worry, when in actuality, they just transfer worry from one thing to another. What's the antidote to worry? Trust. Trust. Yes, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. You're going to be like a tree planted by water, by streams, and you will not fear when the heat comes, and your leaves will stay green. In the year of drought, it's not anxious. You won't be anxious, and you won't cease to bear fruit. See, Jesus tells us that God's will is that you bear fruit, much fruit, for the kingdom of God. You have the fruit of your lips giving praise to God. There's fruit of the Spirit, this cultivation of all of these wonderful attributes and characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all of those, these cultivation of fruit. There's also fruit that that happens when you help lead others into a knowledge of Christ himself. Good works are spoken of as fruit or the result of your efforts for God. Friends, God's will is that you continually bear fruit. But worry shrivels our outlook on everyone else, and our world comes really small, and it's only on us. And how can we bear fruit when we're bound by worry and our sight is so narrow? We don't see anyone else or others' needs. It's all just our worry. Trust in God is a great help for that. Yes, God makes those who trust him vital, alive spiritually, and effective for the kingdom. God's presence satisfies us and influences other people. We're going to spend an entire Sunday on this passage, September the 4th, but I just want to highlight it here. Jesus said in John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again," literal water. "But those who drink of the water that I will give them," Jesus said, "will never be thirsty." That is, the desires will be satisfied. They will have soul satisfaction. The water, he says, that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. See, Jesus offers something, this analogy of water as the dynamic, authentic, spiritual life that happens within him. We come to Christ, he's actually going to give that. And this water is not something external, but actually internal. That our deep satisfaction in life actually comes from, it's an inside job, it's not about external circumstances. It's inside. The water that I will give them that gives them ultimate satisfaction and soul satisfaction in life comes in them. It's a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Its source, the spring of water, is Christ. It springs up from within. It's a replenishing. It's a continual action. It's a spring gushing that lasts from now all the way to eternity. He goes on three chapters later, and he's speaking on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, and Jesus said this, "Let anyone who is thirsty," two things, "come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." You see, we come to God, he cries out, "If you're thirsty, come to me and believe in me and drink." This imagery again of water. I'm the source. Come to me. Believe in me. As the scripture said, he goes on to say, "Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were going to receive. That is, Pentecost was going to come, and he was going to release the Spirit in and through them. Now, here's the fascinating thing. Not only does he actually satisfy our deep souls, he satisfies us, but this wellspring within us that gives us soul satisfaction, true, authentic communion, and the life of God within us also then flows out of us. What's the purpose of this spring flowing out of us? Well, I thought it was just for me. God gives you authentic spiritual life and refreshes you. Why? So that you then will in turn become a blessing to others as this life and ministry and power of the Holy Spirit not just replenishes you and refreshes you, connects you with God, but overflows and rivers and they flow out of your heart to other people. God never intends that what he does in and through you is to be kept only for you. God, his presence by his Holy Spirit satisfies us and influences other people. It's a wellspring that will satisfy your soul. He will satisfy your soul through His Spirit. And it will be a continually regenerating thing as you pursue and seek Him. And as it flows out of you, it will influence other people around you. Finally, God will restore His people and His creation forever. It's a replenishment principle coming from the water imagery in the Bible. God will restore His people fully and finally, and His creation forever. Now stay with me as I take you on a little journey. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3, the prophet is speaking about this end of what will come in the distant future, and he says, "For the Lord comforts Zion," that is the holy habitation of God, His people, the place where He dwells. "He comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden," the Garden of Eden, "and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song." Let me ask you, what turns a wasteland into a garden or a desert into an oasis? Water. The very presence of God Himself. This is what He's going to do. And a result, the ransomed of the Lord, that's you and me, we sang about it. This is what Jesus did for us this morning. And we sang about it this morning. The ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads, and they'll obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Don't you long for that day? Oh, my goodness. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I cannot wait for that day when all is totally restored, every injustice, He deals with His justice, all is made right, and He recreates us. Where our physical bodies, both the dead and those living who believe in Christ, will be recreated in a sense, and we will have eternal bodies. No more pain, sorrow, no more sighing, tears, everything will be gone. Sickness, sorrow, despair, discouragement. And even the creation groans for its redemption, the Scripture says. And in that day, even the very creation will be restored. Psalm 46, verse 4, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Zion, the New Jerusalem. There's a river, this an imagery of God's presence and His Spirit makes glad the city of God. And finally, in Revelation chapter 22, then the angel showed me, speaking to God, John is having this vision of Christ, and this angel takes him, and he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There is coming a day when the new earth, the new earth, God's kingdom will come in all of its fullness and its finality for all eternity. And the restorative work of God, represented by water and the river flowing from God's presence, will forever be ours. Yes, God is the source of our authentic spiritual life. He refreshes those who seek to know Him. Press on with that. He makes those who trust Him vital and effective. His presence satisfies us and influences others. And He will restore His people and His creation forever. Oh, the replenishment of God. But just like in the day of God's people in the Old Testament, we too can hinder this work. So Jeremiah's strong exhortation is well fitting for us. He was the prophet speaking on behalf of God, just like, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked in light of all of this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water at all. In light of all God has done through this imagery of water and stream, that He is the source and all that He does, in light of all that, it's appalling for the people of God to neglect Him as the source of their life, their value, their hope, and have created cisterns. That which was supposed to flow, the river of God, now is a limited quantity, a cistern that holds water. And in fact, they're broken and cracked. They don't even hold water. Isn't it fascinating that we think that we can create things that are actually going to satisfy us? Our money, our possessions, our homes, relationships, our work, our status, our popularity, our position, all of these things we create to try to bring us soul satisfaction apart from God. And God says, those things you try, there's cracks in them. They're broken. They can't hold water. They can't hold that life-giving soul satisfaction that comes from me. So He gives us a remedy. I go back to the last passage, how being replenished, Revelation 22, verse 17, and let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Oh, friends, two principles. Thirst. Do you have desire? If you don't, I encourage you to do what I did many years ago. I was a believer, or that was, I prayed to receive Jesus, but I didn't really thirst after God. And I had to just admit it. And I said to God, God, I don't thirst for you. I don't long for you. Would you create in me thirst for you? Please give me a desire to pursue you with greater ability. Oh, church, ask God. That's the one, it's His will. When you pray His word and His will, He'll always answer that. Ask God for a thirsting for Him. Time up. And lastly, drink. This passage says, thirst, desire. And this one is drink. Receive, take the water of life without price. All that other stuff we try to build our systems, that's expensive to try to satisfy our soul. Jesus freely offers without price that which soul satisfaction. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Thirst for Him, friends. Ask Him for that kind of thirst. And drink, that is receive. Receive. And all of this is tied to His Holy Spirit. Do you seek and pursue the actual life and power and refreshment of God Himself by His Holy Spirit? And do you receive His ongoing filling? You need to know and experience the filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I found this picture and I just thought, that just typifies this. I love that. This is just like, friends, Get the source and drink. And I don't care if it just splashes all over you. I love the enthusiasm of drinking that. God offers himself through his Holy Spirit to you. Create thirst. I think of things always too late, but one of the things I was thinking about was I remember watching the Grammys, and I remember near the end, Carrie Underwood sang her song. I was blown away as she sang that. Remember she said that when she couldn't fight back the tears, you know, it hit me. It was late one night. I was out of hope and all out of fight. I couldn't fight back the tears, so I fell on my knees saying, God, if you're there, come and rescue me. I felt love pouring down from above, got washed in the water, washed in the blood, and now I'm changed, and now I'm stronger. There must be something in the water. Oh, there must be something in the water. And now I'm singing about the amazing grace. Can't nobody wipe the smile off my face. Got joy in my heart, angels by my side. Thank God Almighty, I saw the light. Gonna look ahead, give it all I have. Trust in someone bigger than me. And ever since that day, I believe that I'm changed and now I'm stronger. There must be something in the water. And what Carrie Underwood found in Christ, God all along, from beginning to the end of the scripture, has been offering himself to you. Come to me, church. And drink. Drink. Today is a wonderful day to start that process. So we're going to celebrate communion as we go. It's a wonderful time to come, maybe for the first time, and surrender to Jesus. For this is a vehicle of grace that he pours into our soul as we partake of that. He quenches our spiritual thirst. And he feeds our hungry souls. For these emblems are symbols of him, his body, and his blood, which are for us. Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is for you, to eat this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. Paul tells us that every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, where he will ultimately refresh us forever. So, church, I invite you. I'm going to pray and bless this. And if you've trusted Christ and you believe in Jesus, as an act of wanting to come and have your soul refreshed by the very source himself, Christ himself, come. Eat and drink. Let him refresh your soul. There will be a few stations across the front, and you just come at your leisure, and you go, and you'll be offered bread and cup. And you take them by faith, in humility, and you eat, and you drink. And what happens spiritually as you do this physical exercise, by faith, Jesus comes and fills your being. Let him refresh and minister to you in any way that you need him this morning. Let me pray for us.